This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast. Hey everybody, welcome to another board game edition of the MFG Cast. We're going to just keep rolling with games that we've been kind of playing lately. It's been nice. We've had a regular gaming group that we've been able to play games with, and even though every once in a while we've had one dropout, we're still able to play with one of the other guys, if one of the guys drops out. So we've been kind of consistently playing some fun games and stuff like that. But before we do that, I'd like to just kind of talk about something briefly that I am starting to find myself wanting to get into lately, which is actually kind of nice, is trying to solo a game before we bring it to the table. So I've done that a couple of times now where I've taken games that are multiple player games, but also solo player games. And a lot of times it's games that we haven't played, and I'm like, okay, well, it'd be nice to bring these to the table because then I can learn how to play it and then hopefully be able to teach it well when we get stuff to the table. So that's actually been kind of nice to be able to do that. And it seems like more than ever, it feels like a lot of games are going out of their way to making them be played solo. So then, just in case you don't have those people to play with and you want to play a game, you'll be able to do that by yourself. So, let's see.
Yeah, they're really not singling out those who are solo players who don't have a group of people to be able to play with or another person to be able to play with, not leaving them out from being able to experience that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been kind of nice because, again, like I said, like it's been nice to be able to also kind of learn it, so then we can teach it instead of having to be like, okay, let's all kind of learn at the same time, that kind of thing.
Well, you can jump right into it and not take that additional time necessarily to teach it.
Yeah.
As long as you have it right.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be people that have questions along the way anyway. Especially the way I teach games, because sometimes I teach games really well, and sometimes I get kind of lost in my descriptions of things, and then I'm like, ah, crap, But again, I think this podcast has been a big help, because it's like you get enough practice talking about games, so you kind of get it in your head, like, okay, so if this is how I explain it to people that don't even have the game in front of them, then it should be a little bit easier for me to explain the game when you're talking to people that are playing the game with you in real life.
Right.
It's been a fun experience. And it's cool too because I feel like a lot of these games, like I'm not going to say all of them, but a lot of the games that I've played that I've learned solo, they've done a really good job of making it a play solo.
What is an example you can think of offhand that you've done that with?
You know what's funny? We can just roll right into the stuff that we've been playing. And
kinda that was not planned.
Good segue. That was not planned. So I'm glad you kind of brought that up.
Hey, thanks.
So I was able to bring Longshot, the dice game, to the table. And we had actually played the original Longshot a while ago with old podcast partner Dan.
Long time ago.
And I think it had even gotten like redone or something like that, but it's a game that's no longer in print.
Cause it's originally a German game, I think.
I think so. I think you're right.
I know I'm right.
Chris,
feel really confident.
Cool. And Chris Handy, who makes a lot of, smaller games, he actually did this, Longshot the Dice game. And this one's cool because it's kind of the same concept. You're racing these horses around a track you roll a dice that has certain numbers on it for the horses, and then you also have a dice that does movement, so it's either 1 through 3. And so what you're trying to do is during the game, you're not only trying to buy horses, but you're also trying to
you also bet on horses.
you start off with $12 and then you're trying to do certain things during this game. Well, the solo version is fun. Going back to the solo part of it is because you're playing against a guy called Roland Wright. Roland Wright, get it? And what they're doing is after you have rolled the dice, moved the horses, and taking your turn, Roland takes his turn, so you roll the dice, and then it has certain columns on the thing, and it tells you what to do. So like it's like, you know, either the Roland gets money, or Roland buys a horse, or Roland puts a free bet down on a certain horse, or he has to pay his own money on a horse and stuff like that. So like, it does a really good job of using him as a player to like to be able to make those moves.
Can he run out of money, or does he start can. With
12? He actually starts out with 20, so he actually gets more money than you, which I think is kind of crap.
Well, but, probably because you have the ability to make decisions, and he goes with whatever
yes,
you roll.
Yes,
started the same.
Yes, and they also have this other track, and I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly what it is. I think it's called concessions track or little spot. Where you're crossing off certain numbers on a grid. I think it's like a 4x4 grid of numbers from the horses that are on there. And if you get a column or a row, you actually get to do a special ability. So like $7, you get $7, that's a special ability. You can move two horses two spaces, that's a special ability. You can move one horse three spaces. You can move horses back if you wanted to as well. So like that track for you is great, but Roland actually doesn't get that. So yeah, you gotta find a way to kind of mitigate those things. But a lot of times when you're rolling the dice and you kind of see on the little sheet that tells what Roland gets to do for actions, he gets a lot of good actions. I got lucky because I ended up not rolling as good for him for certain things. So like he ended up getting a decent amount of money during the game, but he also didn't get to spend that much money on like bets and buying horses. Because if your horse that you buy ends up getting first, second, or third, you actually get money for the end of the game, which is great. But also if you put a lot of money down on somebody that, you know, on a horse that finishes, it depends upon whatever place they get, yeah, you get a multiplier. So like if it's like this if this horse gets like first place, it's like seven times whatever you put for a bet sometimes.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
so it's four probably like however like it works at a horse track.
Yes. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We've never been there, but
no, but yeah, it's cool. It kind of gives you odds and stuff like that. So that's one of those games that like is really good at making it a great solo experience, so you're not feeling like you're just, you know, playing against yourself instead of, you know, you're actually playing against something that an AI that actually like makes it challenging. So yeah, so there's that. Yeah, another a couple of other games that have really good solo versions or whatever, or it's that play well solo, is like Dice City from AEG. That's an older game, but I really like that solo. Imperial Settlers, actually, from Portal Games, that's got a good solo mode. And they came out with some solo stuff with the expansions for God's Forge too, and that's actually pretty fun. Those are a little more interesting and stuff like that than I thought they would be, so it's kind of fun to play those as well. So yeah,
I like solo play for dice games like Bravo and
Bricks,
yeah, and that, can't remember the other one.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I played those solo.
Mm-hmm.
But those are fun, and I can sit and play those solo over and over and over again.
Yeah,
because the results are always different.
Yeah, you used to do that quite a bit.
Yeah,
at one point
I did. What happened to me? Just kidding.
You got busy. You got other stuff to do.
What was that stuff?
Other, yeah, I was gonna say shit. Got other shit to do. So yeah, that's one of the things we've been playing recently. We also played a couple things with our game group. Let's see, what was the first game that we played that we were gonna talk about? Was that Valbara? I don't even know who makes that game. I remember the reason why we were introduced to this game is because John had actually introduced it to us on
Board Game Arena.
Yeah, correct. This game is made by Studio H.
Oh.
And I'm no offense, I'm not going to say who designed it or who the artists are, because I don't think I would do a good job with these names. Here, let me try. Olivier Sipierre for designer, and the artist is Felix Donadio and Alexandra Reynaud. I think that's right. I could be wrong. I'm sorry if I butchered
wrong.
It. I can't even say butchered wrong. I almost said butchered. So yeah. So what happens in Valbara?
So in Valbara, there are different types of, I wouldn't really call them terrain cards, but kind of.
Yeah, pretty much though.
Kind of different kinds of terrain cards that get laid out in two rows for players to pick from based on turn order. And turn order, you go around the table like normal, but if there's a tie or something like that, as we start talking about it, on the back of those cards are player symbols. So those determine like who can choose what card first or things like that. But basically on these cards are different types of things like forest cards. They might be worth point values ranging from, I think, 3 to 6. And then there's prairie cards. I think they're called prairie cards. And they're 2 points each. And then there's like another card that if you collect one of them, it's worth nothing. I think it's a mountain card, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
One card, it's worth nothing. Three cards, it's worth nothing. But if you collect 2 cards or 4 cards, they're worth 10 for 2, 20 for 4. So they're a big deal to collect them. But if you don't do it right, then you actually could score 0 points. And then there's some other ones where if other players have this type of card, then you're scoring off of how many you have and how many everybody else has. There's other ones too. I don't need to talk about all of them. But basically what you're doing is you have a deck of cards that are different types of people, and they have different types of, I would say, like powers. And they're numbered 1 through 12. And each of them kind of, you decide how you want to use them based on the type of power that they have. So it could be this card is a number 9, and this one, this is just an example, so number 9 isn't necessarily this, but this one could be, if you play this one, you would be able to get an additional 3 points for every forest you have in your tableau, basically.
Yep.
There's one where if you're the first one to play, if you're the first one to be able to take actions, then you get to, there's just a variety. I think there's like one where you can play it, and if you play it after somebody else, then you can collect coins from them. If everybody else, or if whoever else plays odd cards, you get to collect money, things like that. Mm-hmm. But whoever plays the lowest card is the one who gets to play first. And then, like I was kind of talking earlier, if you play matching cards, then that's where the player symbols come into play, which are face down at the top of the rows. But what the players can decide is which one of those terrain type cards they want to pick to fill in their tableau. So whether they're looking to get the most points by kind of getting cards all over the board, meaning like they want to collect some forest, they want to collect some prairie, they want to collect mountains, they want to do all these things, whatever works for them. I mean, you just kind of have to decide how you want to play. But then after the cards are played, the player actually keeps them face up so that the other players kind of know what cards each of the other players have already played.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of might be able to I would say, kind of count cards, so to speak, mm-hmm. to know what is out in play. So they know the likelihood of maybe somebody having a certain card in their hand or odd cards in their hand or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps with, like, strategy. If one of the cards is, like, if you play before everybody else, you get victory points. So it's like, okay, well, if I know that this person played a 1 and a 2 and this person played a 2 and a 3 and stuff like that, like, I can play my 3 card and possibly be able to play before everybody else and get those victory points.
Yep. And then you only have, is it 5 or 6 cards in your hand each round?
That's 5.
And then at the beginning of every round, you draw another card up. So there could, I mean, you could be like holding out for something, but they may not even have the card in their hand yet. Mm-hmm. And they may not have it in their discard yet. It could be in their face down pile for later.
Yeah.
So, and then whoever has the most points wins the game.
Yep.
So probably didn't do like the best way of describing it.
No, I think you did pretty great.
But I didn't talk about all the cards and all what all the people do or anything like that, but...
Yeah, but we don't need to talk about every little thing, you know?
No, it's more... I think it's more of one of those, like, visual games and things like that. Because, one card I do want to talk about is there are a couple cards that talk about being able to shift the cards in gameplay between the rows. And so if there's something in like the first row that you don't want versus something in the second row that you want, you have the ability to change those mm-hmm. and things like that. So there's like manipulation when it comes to that. So there's a lot of variability when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So it was interesting playing this one as a physical copy versus on Board Game Arena, because Board Game Arena does all of the, like, calculations for me.
Yeah.
So we had to be like, okay, so now how many points do we get for all of these things? Because, like...
Yeah. But which is interesting, because you said that before you play, because you're like, uh-oh, you know, like, we have to do all this ourselves. But, like, it's such a, like, simple game to actually play.
It is.
That it's really not that hard.
No,
it's not that hard to do.
No, it wasn't bad, but at the same time, I was like, oh, I gotta, but I, you know, Board Game Arena, I think you just feel spoiled when you play on there.
Yeah.
And you don't, because you don't have to do any of the setup, you don't have to do any of the math or anything like that, which is fine, but, like, you're just not used to having to calculate any of the points.
You're just playing the game. You know, you're not really doing much else. But, you know, you also, I feel like, in just kind of staying on this topic a little bit, like playing Board Game Arena, sometimes I think you get lost in that. And it's like, okay, maybe at some point I should be kind of paying attention to the points, because if you get to the point where it's like, okay, I need to do these last couple of things at the end of the game
to beat
somebody else, you know, if you don't pay attention to that, you could lax and then lose the game that way. So you have to be careful of that, doing that.
Yeah, so you have to be aware of what's going to get you what. Where I think that's where John is very good at that.
Because
he does all that stuff. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, if I remember correctly, when we got this, it's a really affordable game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what, like $20 or something like
that?
Yeah,
I think so.
Real cheap. I mean, cheap compared to, you know, other board games.
And good quality, mm-hmm. too.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's a game that when we first started playing it, I was like, I like this game, but I don't feel like I'm very good at it. And I've gotten better at it as we've played, and I've been able to appreciate it more. Not just because I've been winning here and there or whatever, but just because some of the player powers and, you know, trying to manipulate the cards to be able to do certain things, you know, get what you want, be able to get other people to not get theirs, you know, like it plays real smooth.
Yeah.
And I like the way that is, and I'm glad we were able to find it, or that John was able to find it and that we were able to play it. So, and nice to have it to be able to play with our gaming group too. I feel like they really enjoyed it as well. So that's always a win-win, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's worse when you pick out a game and then everyone's like, meh.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think we've had that yet, though.
I know. I don't think so. Because most
every game... Unless they're just not telling us.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it feels like every time we've played games lately on our gaming group, everyone's, like, made it a point to be like, this game is fun. And that's cool because, like, a lot of times when you play games, like, a lot of times you know that they're fun or, like, you really enjoy them. And I know that... Also, sometimes you'll play a game and you'll be like, you know, I used to love playing this game, and now not so much. But it helps when you bring a game to the table with newer players that haven't played it or, like, maybe played it one time and then play it again to be able to get that exuberance in it to be like, I really like this game. I'm glad you brought it to the table. And it makes you feel like I'm glad I decided to bring this to the table and yeah. that we have it for people to play.
Yeah.
So another game we brought to the table recently that actually has been one of my favorite games that we've purchased recently or gotten is Junk Drawer by Winsmith Games and 25th Century Games. This is a game, and I know we've actually talked about it before because we've actually had Winsmith on to talk about it, but it is a game where you have four different drawers. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to take your junk and you're trying to put it back into the drawers, but fit them in a way that makes sense for endgame scoring in the game.
Yeah, you're cleaning and organizing your junk drawer.
That's right.
Ors, junk drawers.
Drunk drawers.
I said ors.
And the cool thing about this game, and can be kind of frustrating during the game, is that when you place an item in your junk drawer... you have to always put them in a different drawer each time. So, like, you have the four drawers, so when you put one in, like, the bottom left corner, the next time you have to put them in one of the other ones, either the top right, top left, or the bottom right. And then once you put that in that one, you know, like, say it's the bottom right, then you have to put them in either the top left or the top right. And once you get one thing in each of those drawers, then you can start over again. But it's one of those things where you, like, during a... you know, around basically, you can't put two pieces of junk in the same spot. But also you have to kind of maneuver as far as your goal. So like one goal could be wherever you have a section of just three squares, you'll get like 3 points or something like that.
Three empty squares,
yep. Or for every square that you fill in, you get a point. Or for the Kickstarter version that we got, we actually got letters in ours. So for each letter space that you cover up, you get +2 points or something like that. So, like, it's this fun little cat and mouse game of, like, okay, now I've got this piece that looks like a...
letter C.
Like...
There's one that I can remember that looks like a C.
Oh, it looks like a C, but I was trying to mention the junk. So that one's actually a pair of sunglasses. I actually remember that.
Oh.
So, like, if you're putting that on your board and, like, say this one, you're using that one for a spot where all of a sudden it's like, okay, it has to be a spot where you're not covering up as much. It's like, crap, I put all these other things in these other drawers and I have to put this sunglasses in this space. And I have to try to, like, maneuver it to where it's not taking up so much space so I can actually get the points that way.
Did you mention that this is, I mean, as you're talking about it, I'm sure that some have figured it out, but it's like a polyomino. So yeah. I equate this to kind of like a Tetris-y type game. I don't know if you mentioned that or not.
No, I did not. Thank you for referencing that.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you're trying to kind of fit those pieces in, and unlike a Tetris game, you're trying to make them into certain, you know, ways where it works out for those goals, not just to kind of put them together or whatever, unless you're trying to put them together to fill in more spaces. So, like, it's an interesting puzzle of trying to see what you can do, that kind of thing. And then the way that the game ends is when one person can't actually put one of their pieces in a spot. So we kind of talked about it the night we played it. Like, you could purposely make your board kind of screwy so where you could not play one of your pieces and end the game. So, like, you could get points that way and then people less points. But you also have to be careful, too, because if you end it too early and you're not filling enough spots or not filling enough spots for points for the end of the game, you could lose out that way. So you have to kind of be careful. It's a weird balance.
Yeah, so if you... And you have to play it.
Yes. Yep.
So if you can play, you have to play.
Yeah, that's another thing which I think is pretty brilliant, too, because it's like, okay... So I made this extra space out here on this one board because I want to not have as many spaces filled. But you say you get to a point and all of a sudden it's this big piece. Like, say it's like the one of them is like a big T. It's a bottle opener or whatever. Like, if you have that and it does fit in there, you have to put it in there. So yeah. Then you kind of screw yourself over, you know, getting points.
Depending
you have to kind of be careful.
Depending on what the objective is in that junk drawer.
Yep, exactly. So... So yeah, I really dig it. I love the theme because again, like who doesn't? I mean, I'm sure there's people that don't, but like there's so many people out there. I guarantee you, we're one of them that has our own little junk drawer that has all these miscellaneous things that don't really go anywhere else. But you know, we'll put them in here for now, or we'll you try to grab something and all of a sudden everything falls out and you're like, what are we doing here? You know?
And you organize it, doesn't stay organized for it.
Oh no.
And the as a side note, the cool thing about this game too, and one thing that we did when we played it last week was there's different objectives based on the level of hard that you want to play.
Yeah.
So we started it off when we introduced the game to our gaming group with the novice, maybe?
Like easy.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved up to... medium, and then we moved up to hard.
Yeah.
Because we were having so much fun.
Yeah. And that goes back to the whole, like, introducing games that you're like, oh, this is cool that people are excited about. Because that was our game group person. That was Jason. He was like, oh, this is cool on this. Is there another one? You know, like...
Well, and then by the third one, it was like, so we're going to play the hard one now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we had... Cool. We had time at the end of the night, and it was like, so we're going to play the hard or the last one, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I even like his response towards when we're getting ready to play it. He's like, wow, this is really hard, you know? It's like, no kidding, you know? So.
Were there, on the different levels of difficulty, were there more than just those four cards of the objectives?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. And okay. And we even had a little bit more variety because we got the promo too, so that,
okay,
that added
remember.
A little bit more. Yep. Yep. I think it's at least two or three of each.
Nice.
I think. I could be wrong.
Two or three of extras?
Of easy,
okay,
medium.
Okay,
because
I
hard.
Was like, there's four
I think it's,
that you need.
Yeah, I think it's
like double.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But
I was just curious.
Yeah. Yeah, just another game, and with this one too, like even our game buddy Jason, he actually made reference to, and I agree. This is a game you could play with anybody. You could play with kids. You could play with adults.
Yeah, that's the first time he's actually ever said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He goes, you might have to explain it, or I don't know.
Yeah, there's some things you have to explain, like you know,
but
you'd
explain
like,
it on any game.
Yeah, for sure. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, there are some games that are probably a little easier for kids to play than others. And this one is probably one where you have to kind of keep track of, like, okay, you have to make sure you're filling the spots on this letter K. Okay, so it's got to be here, 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 you know, that kind of
thing. Well, and I think for me, like, the thing, and it's nothing with this game, is that because it's a polyomino, and this is something I have to get over on a polyomino, because I am a child of the 80s and need to make everything like fit precisely, when the objective is not to have it fit precisely, I want to.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And so I think I did better on this time when we were playing, or these three games that we played, because I kept going, that's not the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, and
you're not knocking out rows this time, Tracy. You're not competing on Tetris,
yeah,
like right now.
Yeah,
this isn't a game of Tetris.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, and I think you even made reference to that when we talked about Isle of Cats one time.
Yeah,
it was one of those things where it was like, you know, you're like, okay, well, I need to fill in the left side of the board or the right side of the board or the top of the bottom.
And I don't know if it's like an OCD. It must be.
Well,
or a creature of habit.
A creature of habit, I think. Yeah, for sure.
I don't feel like I'm OCD. I just, like, I think I just have it in my brain. Like, that's, like, whether it's Tetris, whether it's Dr. Mario, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily Dr. Mario, I guess. But, like, it, yeah. It's hard to get that in your head because that isn't the goal of the game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And again, it, you know, it doesn't matter if you have OCD or not. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's
Oh, no.
It's like you said, I feel like it is a thing where it's just, you're just so used to it, you know? Yes. Even when we were playing, like, those games that you talked about, too, like bricks and stuff like that, you're like, oh, I feel like I have to fill in, like, all these same spots and kind of build up or build out or whatever. And it's like, no, you don't necessarily have to. There are certain points in time where it is a good idea because you get more points that way, but sometimes you almost have to break your own logic.
Well, that's like when you play Journey to the Top. You don't have to fill up all of the areas to make it to the top of that board when you're playing Journey to the Top. But I always feel like I have to.
Yeah.
And it's to your benefit if you both hit the top at the same time.
Yeah.
But otherwise you don't have to. But I feel like, I don't know if I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice if I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Like, maybe that's just a Tracy thing.
Yeah. I don't, I'm sure it's a lot of people's things for sure.
Yeah. So. But I'm getting much better.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what we've been playing recently. If you've played any of these games, you want to talk about them, make sure you find us on Twitter, find us on Blue Sky, find us on Instagram. We're on all of those. We're also on TikTok if you want to watch some of those. We're also on YouTube. We're doing some D&D campaign action. We're hopefully getting back into the swing of things playing here. Coming up pretty soon here. So if you're looking for your D&D fix, we've got a campaign going where we are time travelers basically trying to fix the past and they don't quite know why. So so that's it for this time and we'll see you next time. And until then, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.